You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right now, we're crossing to producer Daniel Walker, who has a story on family violence for us.
Yeah, statistics coming out today from the Family Violence Clearinghouse show thousands more police call-outs every year over the last few years. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Our police officers are spending a huge amount of time responding to reports of abuse within homes. But these statistics are just the tip of the iceberg, according to Shine, which is an advocacy group for victims. I spoke to Shine Client Services Director Jill Proudfoot and started by asking for her take on these worrying figures.
I think it's a fairly discouraging picture, and it's totally unsurprising. I think that what we've noticed is that while the population's increasing greatly, the resources for responding to these issues are not increasing. And so where incidents happen, police are attending, but the follow-up services that are able to be provided are getting fewer and fewer. And so a lot of the prevention work isn't able to happen. We're constantly in crisis mode.
We're seeing a steady increase in the number of police call-outs to family violence. There's kind of two ways to look at that. There's the fact that more people might be reporting family violence as that it becomes more available to them and they feel more comfortable reporting it to police. Then there's also the side that there's more family violence in the country. What's your take on those two kind of angles of looking at it?
It's really hard to know. I mean, there's not clear enough research to tell us that. But I think that when you have a society that's kind of breaking down in a way, with many members not able to get safe housing, many members not having enough money to buy the basics of life, people under enormous stresses, for example, after natural disasters like in Christchurch, there's a predictable lift in incidents at those times. Not that those issues cause violence, but if there's someone in the home that has a propensity to use violence anyway, they're more likely to use it when there are stressful situations. So I think that all the stresses of modern-day life are contributing to the problem in that way. But also we've got the factor of it being a slightly more acceptable topic to talk about now. So it's probably a combination of the two, but that's only my own guesswork, really.
And also the worrying kind of side of the fact that more people are feeling comfortable talking about it and reporting it is how many are still going unreported even now?
Oh, the majority. The ones that actually call the police are only the tip of the iceberg, because you have to be very frightened to call the police. And you also have to have confidence that the systems in place will support you and not blame you as the victim. And you also have to take into account that actually calling the police may cause the abusive person to become more abusive towards you. So it's a huge decision for a person to make, and people don't make it lightly. So the ones that call the police are probably just the very tip of the iceberg, and I think research has shown, I'm not absolutely sure what the latest data is, but around 1 in 10 report to the police. So if you multiply those numbers out by 10, and consider that about 60 or 70% of those episodes of violence expose children to seeing and hearing the violence. It's a massive societal issue that we've got.
41% of frontline police officer time spent responding to family violence call-outs.
Yes.
That's a huge amount of police resources. Are they the people that should be dealing with this?
Absolutely they are, because a crime has been committed, so who else would deal with it? They certainly need to attend, and they certainly need the resources to do it, but then to back them up, they need community agencies resourced to be able to provide the preventative services and support services that are needed to try and move that family out of a place of danger.
That's such a high number there. Does that warrant some kind of specialist program within police to dedicated to that?
Yes, and they do have that. We have one of our advocates, our support workers, based at the Avondale Police Station, for example, where they work closely with the police. And they have a family violence team down there, all people who work with family violence, that work as a special unit, and there's other units of that sort around the super city and elsewhere. So, yes, they already have attended to that, and they're doing a big program of change within their organisation.
Mm. And moving back to the police data on what we have, what we know about family violence and how much we don't know, whose responsibility is that to start collecting more data on family violence so that we actually know where we're at and can start addressing some of these problems a bit more in a bit more of a targeted way?
Yes. Ideally agencies like ours would be able to do that, but because it's an expensive process doing research and evaluation, none of our contracts really include any money for that. So it would be great if there were, or if the government appointed researchers themselves to look at these issues with the agencies who are dealing with them on the ground as we are.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. Daniel, what have you got for us?
So we're returning to our family violence story earlier. Just to recap, some very worrying statistics out. Family violence still on the rise in New Zealand. A lot of these statistics coming from the police, and also shows that police are spending 41% of their time responding to family violence calls. So I spoke to Police Association President Chris Cahill about this.
Well, it certainly puts a big strain on frontline officers that have to attend all these call-outs. I mean, on one level, it's positive that these things are being reported and so action can be taken, but the fact they continue to increase year on year